Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship.
We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 34-13 win over the Rams, finishing the season at 6-10. We'll also hear from Jimmy Garoppolo and Joe Staley. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, we definitely feel good going this offseason, the way we finished this last half of the season especially. You know, Jimmy's been playing great for us. We're really excited about just building with him offensively. And then also just the whole entire coaching staff. And, you know, not just Kyle, but every single position coach. They've done a tremendous job this whole entire season of keeping everybody together. It's a very close locker room, very close-knit team. So really just kind of, excited to move forward. And I think a lot of guys have said this already, but, I've said this too. It's just, it's kind of a shame it's coming to an end this year. That's coming from a guy that's in year 11 and 33 years old, and I just wish we had more games, because I feel definitely, we're trending in the right direction, and I feel like, special team here. So, excited to get moving forward to the offseason and see what we can do next year.
That's 49ers tackle Joe Staley, and that's the overall feeling, Steve, that this team kind of wishes they were still playing. Maybe they could have done a job there in the postseason, done some damage if they had made it. But, they started out 0-9, so it didn't work out. But to finish up with 6 wins, pretty amazing stuff at the end of the season with 5 consecutive wins.
Yeah, it really is. And I know I talked a bunch about it, it happening because I've been a part of that, and we've talked about kind of why it happens and how it happens, and the best part is that it did happen. It was really exciting, and listening to Joe Staley, I mean you could see it in the way he was playing. The guy was 33 years old, and then what is 12th or 13th season, just running downfield, knocking people off the pile, just making great blocks in the running game and pass protecting. And yeah, I wish they were still playing, because you know what? They would beat some playoff teams right now because they have the momentum.
Scott Osler from the San Francisco Chronicle, I talk about him a lot because I always like what he writes. And he wrote a column a little bit about Jimmy Garoppolo and the impact that he had, and how really he couldn't come up with another Bay Area athlete that had that kind of impact right away. I mean, it's pretty amazing how this team was rejuvenated once he became the starting quarterback. He just reels off the 5 straight wins. I mean, can you even compare it to anything? He just jumped right in there and did so well.
Gosh, no. Honestly, I don't think I can. Not necessarily someone coming in, and providing that spark that we talked about. I don't think I can. It was the perfect fit at the exact right time, and he played well, and they bought in. And just like that, you get 5 wins in a row.
So many players just picked it up at the end of the year once Jimmy G became the starter. I mean, they all seemed like they were rejuvenated, but especially Marquise Goodwin. I know he got hurt in this last game against the Rams, but he still had a touchdown catch, and he had a good finish to the season. There were other guys, too. I mean, George Kittle looked like a different player once Garoppolo was the quarterback.
I would agree. I mean, he definitely, Garoppolo definitely made people around him better. Made the offensive line look better because he got rid of the ball and, not standing back in the pocket, trying to find an open guy. He was again, back to being very decisive and getting the ball out of his hand quickly. made the offensive line look better, made receivers for sure look better. In the end, made the whole team better.
To me, the only thing he needs to work on is some of the deep balls. And, I mean, I don't know. It's not that he can't throw deep passes. I'm sure he can. He's got a great arm. But, you know, some of them were a little bit misguided. He had a couple of interceptions there. One, his receiver fell down. And I know they talked about it a little bit on the telecast, that may be an area where he could improve. Is that what you see? Is there anything that you could point to besides that? Or do you even see that he needs to improve that?
No, I think that's a very good observation, actually. I think it's a downfall, maybe. I don't know. That may be too strong, but it may be a downfall to that, you know, that quick release where he doesn't necessarily need to use his lower half. He doesn't necessarily need to use his lower half to get rid of the ball or deliver it accurately, but on the deep balls, you need it. You need your lower half, and you need the rhythm of the throw, I think, to make it more accurate. So I think it's a great observation. We don't see him go, in my mind, go deep too much, take that home run shot.
No, they didn't that often. I don't think they did. Little bit,
but no, not much. But I think that's, honestly, I think that's a little bit of, or it's a lot of having to have your feet underneath you a little bit more of a rhythm throw.
It's really hard to find anything to criticize him about.
No, other than the fact
that he called it San Fran. Yeah. I think people were all over him about calling it San Fran.
San Fran.
Yeah, Frisco would have been way worse. If he said Frisco, forget it.
Yeah, but,
yeah. So I think he learned his lesson. I'm sure somebody told him, you can't call it San Fran. Nobody calls it San Fran.
No. It definitely cannot do that. No. Yeah.
Learn that right away. But I do think he really excels at those passes over the middle, whether it be the crossing route or the slant. And the guy who runs that slant really well is Trent Taylor. And I wanted to ask, do you think he has a chance to be, you know, sort of a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type Trent Taylor? Is he that talented?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he does. Cause he runs good routes and he's that possession receiver. Them talking about, the guy last night from Renfro from Clemson last night, you know, not a, you know, that quickness and that, I guess it's really the quickness and the route running and getting open in those short to intermediate routes and getting open in tighter windows, and having a rapport with the quarterback. And I think Trey Taylor is working his way into that Edelman type receiver.
Yeah, that's a valuable guy to have. And they had so many they had so many players that you could say were sort of comeback players from the first half to the second half. But the guy who won the Len Eshman Award, which is definitely quite an honor, was Marquise Goodwin because of what he had to go through off the field as well when, you know, his wife gave birth to his stillborn son at 19 weeks, and his dad passed away shortly after that. And he had a good second half of the season. He definitely was coming through. And I love that touchdown. The touchdown catch, I love that play that Kyle Shanahan has in the playbook where he had that misdirection and he fakes like an end around. And the next thing you know, he's throwing a short pass out of the backfield to Goodwin for a touchdown.
That was pretty interesting. I would agree with you. Because they do that a lot. And we used to do that a lot as well where, you know, you would bring a Jerry Rice in motion because you had to pay attention to him, and bubble him behind after, you know, we would hand off the ball in a run to make it look like it was going to be some sort of an around or a reverse type play. But then when he, you know, slowed himself down and reversed back out and threw the ball to him, I thought it was pretty cool.
That was definitely
a good play.
Yeah. They could pull that one off again next year for sure.
I liked it. Yeah. Well, it's someone like him that can be, you know, can get in and out of his break so quickly. He can do that.
We'll continue the conversation with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
You know, speaking of comeback players, okay, so I have to put George Kittle, to me, at the top of the list because I didn't know much about him coming into the year, and he had a big game against the Rams. Maybe that's why it's still, you know, it's sitting in my mind, 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, he had that long reception that he toted the ball for a while. He's got some decent speed for a tight end. So, you know, what do you think about him as a guy that they could really count on?
Well, I think I think we talked about it earlier in the year with not only Kittle, but Celek as well, where we didn't think that, maybe I didn't think, I should say, that the receivers were playing that well, but they were using the tight ends more in receiver type kind of slot roles. And that's, you know, where I think Kittle fits in really well. He's kind of that H-back type, slot receiver type, Vernon Davis-like tight end. You know, he's more of a route runner and pass catcher than a blocker.
Well, let's listen to what Jimmy G had to say about George Kittle.
George is a high energy guy. I'm sure you guys know that from just talking to him in the locker room. But it's fun to play with him. You know, he gets the other guys going around him. That tight end group is a unique group, just in their personalities, a little bit of everything. So it's a pleasure playing with a guy like that. He's got good hands. You know, it's tough to find a big guy like that with good hands and has quickness like he does, and George just, he makes the most of his opportunities. I mean, when he gets called upon, he usually answers it, and so, you know, for a rookie, that's pretty important.
That's really good stuff right there. I mean, they had Celek time. They were going, you know, every time he caught one, they'd say it's Celek time, and they kind of went to him for a couple, three passes in a row. But Kittle, they don't have a nickname, I guess, for him yet, but these guys seem like they are kind of their characters. Yeah.
Okay, well.
And I guess that's important, right, to have that camaraderie.
Absolutely, and if guys are searching for nicknames for you, then you know you're earning their respect and you're doing good things.
Wanted to talk to you too about what happened late in the second quarter, because this team really rallied around Goodwin because he got hurt. I don't know if he sustained a concussion or not, and he's had quite a few of those in his career. But Blake Countess just flattened him over the middle. Well, that was an old school hit. So he goes out, and right after that, Carlos Hyde ran into the end zone, and it looked like the team was really inspired. They wanted to get in the end zone for Goodwin. You know, Joe Staley especially was pushing the pile. I mean, that was a team effort to score.
That was a serious scrum score.
Yeah, looked like rugby.
You know, I mean, I don't remember when they implemented that rule where you could push from behind. In the past, you know, you couldn't.
Right.
And I think it's been, I don't know, maybe only two or three years where you could do that. Maybe not even that many.
I like it. I do like it.
It's pretty interesting. And that one was, I would agree with you, was exceptional because there were probably 10 guys from the Niners in that pile. I don't think Garoppolo was in there, but I would say pretty much every other guy was in there to get him in the end zone.
You know, that hit by Countess, the flags went flying everywhere. You knew that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a defenseless receiver, unnecessary roughness. But I got to be honest, I don't know how you feel, Steve, but if you go back, you know, the old days, that wouldn't even have been a penalty. That was just a hard hit over the middle, right?
That was exactly. That's exactly what it was. And if they're trying to protect guys, then yes, you have to call that.
Yeah, and they are.
No question. Yeah, and they did. And everybody knew it was wrong in what he did, and everybody knew that it was a penalty.
You know, Jimmy G, the thing that I really like about him, besides the all the other stuff we've talked about with the way he throws the ball and his accuracy and getting it out quick and all that, I didn't really notice much of the scrambling ability, a little bit, but in this game, there was a third down. It was an incomplete, but he showed his elusiveness to make that type of play, and it gets me excited about next year because he's not a quarterback that's going to look to run, but you want the guy who can get away, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, he can get away from trouble, and that's what Jimmy G looked like there.
I think he moves well. I mean, I think he runs well. And I think we saw that in the first three plays that he played as a 49er, you know, that scramble to his left and throwing the touchdown. He's not looking to run, but when he has to or it's presented that he should, I think he runs pretty well.
He does. Just a great athlete.
Yeah.
You know, the defense also played well in this game and at the end of the season. You don't win those games without the defense. And there were some guys that stepped up. Adrian Colbert, I thought he played really well. Kaywan Williams, he had that interception last week. And then in this game, there were a couple of them where, you know, he made some really good reads on a screen. There was one where he forced Tavon Austin to go the other way on an unsuccessful third down. He just seems like he's everywhere. And the defense overall is playing better.
I think the defense overall was competitive from the beginning of the year. I think there were obviously a lot of younger guys in the beginning who didn't, and we talked about this, didn't know how to win, but learned how to win, and it definitely showed in the last five or six games, you know, that they could make the little play that turned out to be, you know, we talked about it with Solomon Thomas, I think, 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was last week when he had that sack where he basically was getting manhandled by the tackle, getting pushed to the ground, but reached out and tripped Bortles. So it was last week. You know, it's little things like that are made a huge difference once some of these young guys got some experience and started to figure out what they needed to do to help the team win. And I think it was a number of guys. I mean, there have probably been, it seems like a dozen defensive backs that have played this year with all the injuries earlier in the year. You know, when guys like Tart, you know, who were playing well, got hurt, and they needed others to step in. And guys have. I don't know. It'd be interesting to go back and see how many different defensive backs have played for the Niners on this year. I mean, it seems like it might be close to a dozen.
Well, they're deep at that position, and that makes you wonder about Eric Reed and whether or not they bring him back. I mean, what do you think? I mean, he showed versatility because he played a little linebacker as well.
He did show versatility. I actually think he played as well this year as he's played his whole career here. I mean, he came, you know, he came downhill to hit people more, I thought, this year than he did in the past. You know, kind of playing in that kind of nickel back, kind of strong safety type, small linebacker type position. You know, I thought he was much more physical this year than he's been.
Be interesting to see if they keep him, though, because he is a free agent and they've got depth. Do they need to, you know, will they spend the money there? They have, you know, a lot of room under the cap, but is he a guy that they keep? That's going to be a tough decision, I think.
I think he's the nucleus player in this organization. So my feeling is they'll keep him.
Here's the other thing for him is that, you know, he's kneeling down and, you know, he's still not convinced the NFL serious enough about the fight against social injustice. 49ers are very accepting of that, but there's going to be a lot of owners and teams that are not.
Right. That's true. That's very true. The 49ers have been very accepting of it. But I just think that he's being around the organization, I think he's someone that, like I said, that they think, they believe is the nucleus of your team. So I would kind of be surprised if they didn't re-sign him.
Another tough decision will be Carlos Hyde. He seems like he got better at the end of the year. You know, he was catching the ball a little bit better. He had 90 yards in the last game. He seemed to be a little more explosive. You know, there was a time there in the middle of the season when things weren't going well and you're losing. I mean, it looked like Breida was the better back. Like, you know, he wasn't hitting the holes very well, but now it looks like he's gotten better. I don't know. Again, that's going to be a hard decision.
That is a hard one. And also, we're still going to have a relatively high pick. Do you go and take a, you know, a big name back coming out of college? I don't know. I mean, I think that if they decide that Carlos is not the future, then And yes, I think they do use that first round pick to take a, you know, take a running back out of college.
Yeah, but you look at what Leonard Fournette did for the Jaguars as they improved to become a playoff team, and he rushed for over 1,000 yards. That lets you know that, you know, if you can get a really good running back out of college, that could be helpful. And the 49ers will pick pretty high. I mean, they got this coin flip with the Raiders, which amazingly, the Raiders and the 49ers ended up with the same record. Ninth overall pick.
Two different directions.
Yeah, so ninth overall pick is what they're flipping the coin for. You know, that should be a pretty good pick in the 2018 draft.
Absolutely, it will be. Yeah, and it could be, in my mind, it could be a running back.
So the 49ers, they go 0-9, and their first NFL team to win more than three games after starting 0-9, and they end up 6-10. Great finish. They win five in a row. Now what about next year? I mean, I looked at the schedule, Steve, and especially at home, man, it looked a lot easier. I mean, they got all these teams that didn't make the playoffs, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Oakland, and the Giants at home.
Yeah, but then the away schedule, you're going, and I kind of was focusing more on the away schedule when
it's
I looked at it.
Tougher, yeah.
Just because, well, you're going to Kansas City, you're going to Green Bay, you're going to Minnesota. Those three jumped out at me.
Tampa was the other one too, and Chargers.
Tampa, yeah. But okay, yeah, Green Bay's not in the playoffs, but as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, you got to consider him a playoff team.
Right, he'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be back. And so, yeah, I thought the road record was – I mean, the road schedule for next year is going to be tough. But no, you're right. The home one didn't look that bad.
But people are going to be really optimistic about the team.
I mean, expectation now. I mean, around here, like Joe Staley said, you know, wish we could be playing more games this year. And everybody's going to be, you know, looking at it as, you know, we can't wait for next year. So the expectation is higher, not only here, but around the league that, these guys are obviously a better team going forward. And, you know, we need to be ready for them when we either have them to our house or go to their house and play. So, they're only 6-10, but definitely have the momentum going in the right direction.
So you mentioned maybe taking a running back in the draft. What are some other specific areas that you'd like to see improve, whether it be the draft or free agent?
I would think that they need to continue to get offensive linemen. I mean, your best player is 33 years old.
Right.
So getting offensive and defensive linemen, which defensive linemen, we've got a bunch of young guys who are good. So I would think that they've got to continue to look at offensive linemen. I would think that, bigger receiver.
One more.
I don't know exactly, you know, in my head of, who that is or I don't know exactly what that guy looks like, but I think they need one more. I think they need another bigger kind of slot receiver like we just talked about, that Kittle's kind of filling that role right now.
That would help. And I think that they're going to – another decision that we to finish up here is Jimmy Garoppolo, because they could franchise him and then have to pay him whatever that is, $23 million, or they could just sign him to a long-term deal. I mean, did the five games show enough that you sign him to the long-term deal rather than risk, you know, that you're going to have to keep paying him in whatever the franchise is for another couple of years? I don't know. I mean, it seems like they want to wait it out, I think, kind of take more of a look and then decide from there is what I get the feeling of.
I don't know. I think next year, I think a franchise tag for next year is going to be, I think it'll be $25 million. It was $23 this year. So do you pay him the 25? I mean, because if you sign him the long-term deal, you're going to have to pay him 25 a year, in my mind.
So it's the same thing, only longer term,
yeah,
right?
So do you pay him 25 see what he looks like for a whole year, build, you know, continue to build the team around him. And if you come out 10-6 next year instead of 6-10, then they pretty much have to sign him to a long-term deal. They have to commit to him.
He's going to be over $100 million, right?
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, I would think it's, you know, 5 years, 125.
Right.
I guess there's a chance that they don't sign him this year and sign him designate him as a franchise player and get another look at him. That's probably okay because, like I said, it's going to be a same amount of money for a year, and then see how they do building around him and how he does as the guy. So yeah, I could see that in my mind. Before you asked the question, I was kind of thinking that they would just sign him to a long term deal, but yeah, I could also see them looking at him for another year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so last question of the season here is who's going to win the Super Bowl? And it's going to be hard to beat New England. They're still the team to beat there in the AFC,
gosh,
right?
Yeah.
Pretty tough.
I mean,
maybe an NFC team could surprise them in the Super Bowl, you know, maybe Minnesota because they've played so well. There could be, you know, another team that could jump out there at the end. What do you think?
Yeah. I was with a bunch of people obviously over the weekend of the wedding, and we were talking about it. One of my buddies said Minnesota and Kansas City. I was like, oh, I like that.
Wasn't that Super Bowl? Was that or four? I think it was four.
Four or five, yeah.
Yeah, Kansas City won that, yeah.
So that would be neat. I'd be happy for Alex. Yeah, I would say right now your thinking is, you know, the conservative thought, I guess, New England still, you know, probably has the edge because of Brady and knowing how to win those playoff games.
Right.
I kind of like the Vikings Chiefs. Two teams that I played for, so I'll
that would
them.
Be pretty good. Yeah, I like the Vikings' chances because, you know, I think, you know, without your starting quarterback for the Eagles, without Wentz, I think that's going to be tough. I just think it's going to be tough for them.
We got to see in Dallas, because they were playing Dallas, we got to see that Eagles game. But, Foles didn't look as good. He didn't look as good as I thought he would.
Yeah.
He only played a quarter on Sunday, but I didn't think he looked that great, even in that quarter.
Well, we'll see what happens. Should be an interesting playoff. I think the MVP for today, though, is you, Steve, because, you know, you're battling through this cold and you got through it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And I really appreciate everything you did all year. It was a lot of fun, again, doing the podcast.
And it's obviously, especially the last 6 weeks, it's always fun when they win. It makes everybody happy. Makes talking about it a lot more fun.
Looking forward to next year. Same coach, same quarterback. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know. How about that? Same offensive system. That helps everybody.
Well, have a great offseason, Steve, and thanks again so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra throughout the season. We'll be back again in 2018. In the meantime, check out our Warriors Dubs OT podcast every week with my co-host Ray Woodson. And then starting up in spring training, our San Francisco Giants Inside China Basin podcast will get underway. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on the sportsvirus.com.